Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, December the 31st. And we will talk this hour about the best movies of the year on this last day of 2007. Using our guest movie reviewer's top 10 list as our starting off point. And we'll see if you agree or not with the Capital Times' Rob Thomas. What was the best movie of 2007 according to you? And what was the worst, if you have a worst? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Rob Thomas is the entertainment writer and movie reviewer for the Capital Times, and he came out with his top 10 list for best movies late last week. Good morning.
Hi.
So the top movie on your list is one I've been meaning to see, but frankly I've been a little afraid to see, No Country for Old Men. Tell us a little bit about it and why you like this one so much.
Yeah, this is one top movie of the year that I've not unhesitantly recommended to everybody I know. I'm sort of like, well, maybe you wouldn't like it or whatever. I mean, it's very violent, very dark. It's the Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan Coen, who do either, sort of very wacky, offbeat comedies like Raising Arizona or Big Lebowski, or really dark crime thrillers like Blood Simple or Miller's Crossing. And this is definitely the latter. It's an adaptation of Cormac McCarthy's Pitch Black 2005 crime novel. The story is sort of familiar. It's about this working-class guy, played by Josh Brolin, who finds $2 million in drug money in this drug deal gone wrong, decides to take it, and then is pursued by this hitman, played fantastically by Javier Bardem. I mean, it's like one of the great villain roles, I think, of all time. I think we're talking like Hannibal Lecter level, great movie villain. For the first three quarters of it, it's just this great thriller. I mean, the Coen brothers just build so much suspense, so many great character moments. It's really just a fantastic thriller. And following these two guys in this sort of cat-and-mouse chase through Texas and Mexico is Tommy Lee Jones as this very decent, very humane lawman. Sort of appalled at the carnage he sees. And the last quarter of the movie, it takes a really weird turn that definitely throws some viewers, I think. And it becomes much less a conventional thriller and more this very kind of disturbing meditation on where the country's going and sort of seeing this story through Tommy Lee Jones's eyes.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what characters are speaking in this clip that I have, but maybe you will recognize the scene and tell us about it.
Okay.
Why would we go to Odessa?
Not we. You. You stay with your mother.
Well, how come?
Look, right now, it's midnight Sunday. The courthouse opens 9 hours from now. Someone's going to be calling in the vehicle number on the inspection plate of my truck. And around 9:30, they'll show up here.
But for how long do we have to...
Baby, at what point would you quit bothering to look for your $2 million?
So who's looking for his $2 million?
Yeah, that's Josh Brolin as Lou Moss, the welder who finds the money. He's talking to his wife, played by Kelly McDonald. They have a great, very loving relationship, and you really sort of get what's at stake there. Because he understands exactly what he's done. He understands exactly how stupid it was to take this money, and he does it anyway. And he's much smarter and much tougher than you think he's going to be, but then you still wonder if that's enough because the guy Javier Bardem plays, Anton Chigurh, is so relentless. I mean, one character describes him as like the bubonic plague, and that's like, how do you defend yourself against the plague?
You know, one of the reasons I've been a little bit afraid to see this is because I read in many accounts of the movie about the weapon that Bardem uses.
Yeah, it's pretty grisly. It's a... like a cattle stun gun. It's like an air tank holds this little device, and it shoots out this little bolt that they use to kill livestock. And he uses it on a couple of people in the movie, and it is a very creepy thing to use. But it certainly underscores his character, and sort of, he sees people around him as basically no better than cattle.
Yeah.
So that gives you an idea that it's not exactly a sunny, night at the movies for the holidays.
And you're a big fan of the Coen brothers.
I am. Mm-hmm. And you know, they've certainly gone up and down and in quality, but they're just great movie makers, and there's so much in this movie that I love, from the little performances, even the little ones in the margins, to just like even the sound design makes, you know, they use silence so well in this movie to build suspense, and just tiny faint little sound effects, like the hitman has this little transponder, this little electronic gizmo he's using to track the money and track Josh Brolin. There's just one scene where it's totally silent in this hotel where Josh is hiding. And you hear the little faint peeing of this thing, and it's so suspenseful. It's just, I think it's just a great movie.
We are talking about the best films of 2007 with Rob Thomas, movie reviewer and entertainment writer for the Capital Times. We'll also talk about some of the clunkers of 2007 as well, inviting your questions, your nominations for the best or worst movies of the year, if you wish. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, December the 31st. Coming up this afternoon, after 5 o'clock, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. Ben's guest says, in 2008, major financial markets will suffer a mortal blow. The U.S. dollar will be worth a dime. But he says not all the trends are doom and gloom. Ben ending the year talking about the future with Gerald Celente, who is a forecaster with Trends Research Institute. That's coming up this afternoon after 5 o'clock. We're looking back at 2007 and figuring out the best movies of the year and maybe some of the worst as well, and welcoming your nominations for our guest or your questions for our guest movie reviewer, Rob Thomas from the Capital Times. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Topping the top 10 list for Rob, No Country for Old Men. We'll go into some of his other picks after we take some calls. Carlos in Waukesha. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joyce. The best wishes for you guys.
You too. Happy New Year.
Thanks.
Thank you. And, yeah, I agree with you guys about the No Country for Old Men. It's a great movie, very, very violent, and makes you jump out of your seat a couple scenes right there. But I really enjoy it, but one of my favorite movies this year, I would say that would be Atonement. Atonement?
Atonement.
Atonement, yes.
Yeah, Rob, you have that one on your list,
yeah, that's,
too.
That's number 5 on my list, and I saw it.
It is a great movie, yes.
Yeah.
And why did you like it so much, Carlos?
Well, because I'm a songwriter, you know, and the way they put everything in the movie, It's just about this writer, which I can't remember the name of the actress, but it's amazing movie. Really, really, I really enjoy it.
I really
recommend it.
Thank you very much, Carlos, and so do you, Rob.
Yeah, I thought it was, and I have friends who started reading the book and stopped because they thought it was like sort of a standard English sort of period drama, and it kind of starts that way, and it goes in so many interesting places. It's about this, like you said, about this writer who has a young girl, sees something with her older sister and another man that she thinks she understands, but she doesn't, and sort of spends the rest of her life sort of dealing with the fallout from that mistake. And it's really, really, it's like almost like a David Lean level movie on some levels. There's this one shot in the movie during World War II that's like several minutes long that follows these three soldiers on a beach where there's like thousands of other soldiers, and it's like one shot that goes all through these different little vignettes. It's really an amazing shot. I mean, it's really a beautifully done film, and it just opened here, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and it's highly recommended.
And here is what our clip gatherer, Cheryl Gasser, calls the kiss scene.
I don't know how I could have been so ignorant about myself. So stupid. You do know what I'm talking about, don't you? You knew before I did.
Why are you crying?
Don't you know?
Yes, I know exactly.
Why is she crying?
That's Keira Knightley and James McAvoy as the older sister, and yeah, that's just the pivotal moment when they finally sort of fall for each other, and then the younger sister sort of bursts in on them, and things get very complicated from there.
I guess you lose something on the radio, huh?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. You know, a lot of radio kisses don't translate that well.
All right, Atonement, and I've seen a number of, that's getting a lot of, I don't know, Oscar buzz too, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of the kind of movie where, you know, it's British, it's based on a novel that sort of is a shoo-in, but I actually think a lot of people will really be swept away. It is a great love story. That's the other thing. It's a war story, a love story. It's got a lot packed into it that I think people will like.
Next we go to Karen in Platteville.
Hi,
Hi, Karen.
Morning.
Morning.
Hi.
Well, I like George Clooney and Michael Clayton, but I like Viggo Mortensen. I think he should have won an award for History of Violence, but I thought Eastern Promises was pretty good.
Oh, did you just give us three of them?
No, I gave you three movies, but one was an older movie that Viggo Mortensen had played in, History of Violence, and then the one that he would be considered for would be Eastern Promises for this year.
Yeah.
But Michael Clayton was also one of your favorites.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw Michael Clayton. I liked it. I don't know if it was my favorite of the whole year. You didn't even have that one in your honorable
mentions. You know, I have not seen it. That was one of the ones I missed. But it's definitely one that's gathering steam. I definitely think George Clooney is going to be nominated for an Oscar for it.
Yeah.
I did see Eastern Promises, and Viggo Mortensen does do a very good job. He plays a Russian gangster, and you know, what everybody talks about is this really brutal fight scene at the end where it's in a steam bath and he's basically just completely naked fighting these two guys, and it really is in many ways a completely fearless fight scene. So I'm not sure if he's got as much buzz going as he did with History of Violence, but it is a pretty great performance.
Well, I have a lot of movies that I have to see.
Another very violent one, Joy, just so you know.
Okay.
Super violent.
Yeah. I saw a number that are on your honorable mentions, like that my husband made me go to Bourne Ultimatum. I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's one of your honorable mentions. And we saw 3:10 to Yuma as well, which was good. They just didn't make the top 10 cut, is that it?
Yeah, I sort of went back and forth, and it's like, and this was a year where I really, you know, some years I have kind of a little trouble trying to get top 10. And this year I felt I saw so many good movies that I really want to sort of at least mention the ones that didn't quite make the cut. And you mentioned, too, that I really noticed a lot of, or at least some, you know, mainstream Hollywood movies that were really good this year. They were really well made and were really just, like 3:10 to Yuma is a classic example, a classic Western,
mm-hmm.
Just really well made, well acted, exciting, well shot. You know, just showing that, you know, I mean, there's always the Transformers type movies out there, but Hollywood can still make really just sort of quality entertainments when it puts its mind to it.
Yeah, the two most recent movies I saw are on your honorable mentions, and I liked both of them very much. Into the Wild and Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though Before the Devil Knows You're Dead was very, very troubling, I guess.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's very pitch dark movie about two brothers who get involved in this jewelry heist gone wrong with their parents' jewelry store. You know, Philip Seymour Hoffman is mm-hmm. such a great actor. He's got like three great roles this year, I guess, that Charlie Wilson's War, and then The Savages, which comes out in mid-January. And what I like about that movie is it's directed by Sidney Lumet, who's 83, but he's still making very vital movies, and it's nice to see him still working at the top of his game. I mean, he made Network. He made the first 12 Angry Men back in the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
That's long career.
Yeah. Yeah, and Into the Wild, was Sean Penn's movie, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah, based on the John Carradine novel about Emile Hirsch plays this sort of post-college graduate who basically rejects society and goes out and, you know, into the wilderness. And, yeah, beautifully shot movie, great performances. And, that's actually a lot of people are like that. I was sort of wondering if it would be one that would be more specialized, but a lot of people I know have seen that and really liked it.
Yeah. And we go now to Victor in Milwaukee. Hi, Victor.
Hello, Joy. Hello to your guests, and Happy New Year to you both.
You too.
I would like to put in a dig for Denzel Washington portraying the American gangster.
Aha, that's on your list, Rob.
Yep, I'm going to put that number.
And Victor, why did you liked it in particular because of Denzel?
He's one of my favorite actors, but what it is what I like about Denzel is he tries to bring up these obscure stories and characters that, you know, you would never think of or even go out of your way to look at. And I like the analysis of what the movie was about, you know, about this very wise and streetwise gangster that you don't hear much about. You give credit to the Italian mafia and a lot of these other gangs out here, but you never known that there was this very powerful, streetwise black gangster.
Yeah, I do have a clip from American Gangster that kind of gives you a little bit of an idea of what it's about.
I had good information that the target of my investigation was bringing dope in on that plane.
And that target is?
Frank Lucas.
Who?
His name's Frank Lucas.
Who's Frank Lucas? Who does he work for? Which family?
He's not Italian. He's black.
Is that supposed to be some kind of a joke? You're this close to the end of your career in law enforcement. You're making jokes?
My investigation indicates that Frank Lucas is above the mafia in the dope business. My investigations also indicate that Frank Lucas buys direct from a source in Southeast Asia. He cuts out the middlemen, and he uses U.S. military planes and personnel to transport pure number four heroin into the United States, and he's been doing so on a regular basis since 1969. I have cases against every member of Frank's organization.
Frank's organization?
Every single...
No black man has accomplished what the American mafia hasn't in 100 years!
Hey!
Wow.
Yeah, and that's exactly what your car was talking about. I mean... The guy, Denzel Washington, plays Frank Lucas, is completely, flies totally under the radar of both the criminals and the cops because he's African-American, and everybody assumes that the mob is the one who controls all the crime in New York City. It is a great performance. I think he'll get nominated because he takes all the charm and all the likability he puts into other roles and turns into this guy who basically runs his criminal empire like a CEO. He's very ruthless. He's very... low-key about it, and he can get what he wants when he wants it.
Yeah. Now, what number did you have?
I think that was 7.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is one that I did not see because I thought it was going to be just a movie for kids. And it's about a rat. Here we go.
Ah, Paris, France. Home of the finest restaurants and the greatest chefs in the world. All my life, I've wanted to be one of them. You may think that's a strange dream for a rat, but I've always believed that with hard work and a little luck, it's only a matter of time before I'm discovered.
Ratatouille number 2, huh?
Yeah, I loved Ratatouille. And boy, in the total opposite in terms of, you know, as sunny as No Country for Old Men is dark, I thought it was just fantastic, and I think it was made Pixar who did The Incredibles and Toy Story and Cars last year. I think this is one of their best, and it's about this rat who is a kind of a foodie, and while the other rats are going through the garbage, he's looking for the finest food, and eventually goes to Paris and goes into a French restaurant and sort of becomes the Cyrano to this hapless chef and teaching him how to make fine food. I mean, it's just it's really, really funny and it's just so beautiful. I mean, for animation, there's this first shot of Paris.
Wait, because I have to check our news, and
oh, sure.
Then we will talk more about it. Rob Thomas, entertainment writer and movie reviewer for the Capital Times, talking about the best movies of the year. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Monday, December the 31st. Happy to have you along and hope you join in as we continue our discussion about the best movies of 2007. So far, our listeners have nominated 3 of the 10 movies on our guests' top 10 movie list of the year. No Country for Old Men, number 1. Atonement, number 5, and American Gangster, number 7. One listener nominated Michael Clayton. That was not on our guest list, but maybe that's because it's one of the few movies of last year that, or I should say this year, that he hasn't seen. But he has seen just about every other one, and we are talking about his top picks and welcoming yours. What was the best movie of the year as far as you're concerned? What was the worst?
1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Rob Thomas is our guest. He is the movie reviewer and entertainment writer for the Capital Times, and he came out with his top 10 list late last week. We were, just before news time, talking about number 2, Ratatouille. So what is it that you like so much about this animated movie about a rat who wants to be a chef?
Right, yeah, and yeah, I just thought it was really, really funny, and you know, and actually much more complicated and subtle than you expect from, I think, a kids movie. Basically, it's one that, you know, my 3-year-old daughter really liked, and I thought was really great as well. And the animation is just fantastic. I mean, there's a shot of Paris, which, even though it's like, you know, see, it's basically just pixels on a computer, it's just so breathtakingly beautiful. Yeah, I highly recommend that movie.
Here's one that is on my list to see. I just haven't had a chance to see all the movies I want to see, and you can tell us what it is after we hear this clip.
Okay.
Half the time I wander around looking for something, I can't remember what it is. Everything is gone.
I couldn't just leave her here.
We understand it is very difficult to leave a loved one in a new environment for so long.
I don't think I like the place.
I think all we can aspire to in this situation is a little bit of grace.
I can't go away from you like this.
I need to stay here, and if you make it hard for me, I might cry so hard I'll never stop.
Well, that sounds so heartbreaking.
It is. Yeah, that's Away From Her. That was number 3 on my list.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, Julie Christie plays this woman, a wife of, I think, 44 years, who develops Alzheimer's, and her husband puts her she wants to be put in a sort of a care facility against his wishes, and what happens there. And it's a beautifully acted movie. Julie Christie is just amazing, and so beautiful still. And then Gordon Pinsent, this great Canadian actor, plays her husband. And I think the subject matter might turn some people off, but it's really, I mean, it's really more moving than just a tearjerker, because it's really about their marriage more than it's about this disease. And then some interesting thing happens once she goes into the facility. Actually, it mirrors what really happened with Sandra Day O'Connor a couple of months ago, where, and it's just very, very, really interesting movie. And what's sort of fascinating, it's based on a short story by Alice Munro, and was written and directed by the actress Sarah Pauley, who's only 27, but boy, she really gets the feeling of these older people.
Let's go back to the phones. Mike in Oak Creek. Hi, Mike.
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, my nomination would be for one that just came out, which was Sweeney Todd, The Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
Yeah, with Johnny Depp in it.
Absolutely.
I haven't seen this, but I know Rob Thomas has.
I loved it. It's on number 6 on my list. And wow, what a great movie! What a well sung, disgustingly bloody, beautiful looking movie. I just fell in love with it.
And Johnny Depp can sing.
He can. He really was, and I think this is the first time he's ever sung professionally. And he really, I mean, you know, nobody's going to put him on Broadway, but he's really got a great voice, and you know, could really get the emotion of the character through in his singing. And
well, let's be the judge of that.
Okay.
Speak to me, friend. Whisper. I'll listen. I know. You've been locked out of sight all these years, like me, my friend. Well, I've come home.
No, not bad.
No, hit those high notes pretty good. Yeah.
And explain the story again. It's pretty gruesome.
It is. I mean, he plays the demon barber. He plays this guy who was a barber who was sort of framed by this wicked judge, who's played by Alan Rickman, and sent to prison for 15 years because Alan Rickman had designs on his wife. And then he comes back to London, this is like Victorian era, I think, 15 years later, looking for revenge, and he sets up shop, he basically slits the throats of his customers, and then they get dumped down a chute and down below is Helena Bonham Carter's meat pie shop, and I'll let people decide what happens there, except that all of a sudden her meat pie business becomes very thriving.
Oh, no. Mike, was there anything else you wanted to add about Sweeney Todd?
Well, only that it's I was a bit biased. I make my living by a professional musician, by playing Broadway musicals. So, I went into it loving the show, but I thought it was just unbelievable.
So I went in completely blind and just loved it. And I wrote in my review that I think The Blood should get a Best Supporting Actor nomination because it's scary. It wants to be. It's funny. It wants to be. It's moving when it wants to be. And it's really, Tim Burton did it. And I think it's his best movie since Ed Wood.
Mike, thank you very much. Now we go to Connie in Portage. Hi, Connie.
Hi. I'd like to tell you about my friend and I. Now, we're older ladies, and we decided to go to see Beowulf. Because Beowulf, we had in English 4 when we were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most gruesome, horrible. I mean, one other person was in the movie besides us. We should have known. Oh, I've never seen anything like it, and we didn't know what to do.
I didn't see Beowulf because I had it, I read it in high school. But no, I'm just teasing. Connie, why was it so bad?
Well, first place, it was like an animation type thing, which we didn't know. And that just was, have you ever seen animated people nude? It's just ridiculous.
Did that end up on your worst list?
It didn't. That one, I actually went to a screening, and it was so sold out, I literally could not find a seat in the theater, and this was the IMAX here in town, so I didn't get a chance to see it. I think underwhelmed some people. It didn't make my bottom five list.
Yeah, just for kicks, let's talk about one or two of your bottom five.
Okay.
Wild Hogs, that's the John Travolta one, right?
Yeah, and it was a big hit. A lot of people saw it. I thought it was just, it's him. It's actually a great cast. It's him, Martin Lawrence, Tim Allen, and William H. Macy playing these middle-aged bikers who go on this cross-country road trip. And, it could have been sort of like a nice sort of leather-clad city slickers. I thought it was just... a lot of just really obvious labored physical gags. A lot of sort of jokes about people thinking they're gay and stuff, which was just really sort of felt very lame. And it just was a real waste of talent on screen. And then when Peter Fonda, Easy Rider himself, shows up at the end of the movie, it's just depressing, frankly, that he's in it.
I like what you say about another one of the worst, the second worst, Nicolas Cage in Next.
Next, yes. Who he plays this magician who has the power to see 2 minutes into the future, just 2 minutes into the future, and which would be helpful because if you saw the first two, or you knew what the first 2 minutes of this movie would be like, you would never buy a ticket.
You would never go,
yeah.
We are talking with Rob Thomas. He is entertainment writer and movie reviewer for the Capital Times, talking about his top 10 list for the best movies of 2007. He also has the bottom five and some honorable mentions, and we're welcoming your nominations for the best and the worst, or your questions for Rob. What movies did you like and not like in the past year? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, about 14 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Monday, December the 31st. So what are your hopes for public policy in Wisconsin for 2008? You are invited to make a New Year's resolution for your state government, lawmaker or governor or any public official for that matter, on our state capitol report coming up after 7 o'clock. What do you want your state government to accomplish next year? Do you think there ought to be a law for something? You can join in with your New Year's resolutions for your state government officials coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about the best movies of the year. And some of the worst. Our guest is Rob Thomas, entertainment writer, movie reviewer for the Capital Times. He came out with his list of the top 10 movies of the year that was in late last week's paper. And we're welcoming your nominations. What movies do you recommend others see? Or maybe what movies do you recommend we stay away from? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. We've gone through many on Rob's top 10 list. Here's another one that's on my I want to see list, but haven't seen it yet. Oh, wait a minute. I take that back. This is the one movie I actually did see that is on your list, Rob. It's Rescue Dawn. Let's listen to a clip.
Okay.
Without water, you won't survive more than 2 days out there. Without water, your tracks will be visible for even more. The jungle is the prison. Don't you get it? Hey, listen. Let's say you do survive the jungle and lack water. There's 6 guards posted during the day.
Yeah. That is during the day. I'm going at night.
And so he does.
Yes, he does. Yeah. I Werner Herzog's movie about these two guys. I think this guy was the only guy I think escaped from a POW prison during the Vietnam War. And I thought it was just one of those movie experiences where you're just completely immersed in what's going on screen. I mean, I don't know if it's because the attention to realism. I mean, Christian Bale and Steve Zahn, those two actors, lost a lot of weight and went through a lot. I mean, at one point, Christian Bale's being dragged by a bull around, and you know, it's really happening and stuff. But I was just totally immersed in what was going on screen. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a great movie. Yeah.
The number 8, that was number 9 on your list. Number 8 on your list, the In the Valley of Ela?
Ela or Ella. I can't remember now. Yeah.
And in any case, we don't have a clip of that because I was told we couldn't find a clip that didn't have 5 swear words in it.
I don't remember, but you're probably right. Yeah. I really thought that was a great movie. And it was one of a bunch of movies sort of about either the Iraq War or the War on Terror that sort of died at the box office. But Tommy Lee Jones, again, from No Country for Old Men, just one of his best performances playing this father trying to figure out why his son was killed near an army base. His son was an Iraq veteran who was just home a couple of weeks. And I thought it was really a well-acted, really interesting movie. You know, it's about the Iraq War, but it's also a great, very interesting murder mystery as well. I thought it really blended sort of political commentary and just sort of genre filmmaking really well. I hope people catch it maybe when it comes out on DVD.
And now I have the clip of the movie that I really did want to see, and it's number 4 on your list, I'm Not There.
Do you think it's the process itself that's at fault?
Who cares what I think? I'm not the president. I'm just a storyteller, man. That's all I am.
Well, I presume at the very least that you care something about what you sing every night.
Well, how can I answer that if you got the nerve to ask me?
Do you know, I am convinced of one thing. You either do truly care about nothing at all, or tremendously much that people think so.
And you ask for my time?
Mr. Quinn, we really do need you.
Listen,
in...
I know more about you, right, than you will ever know about me. Slaughter me for all I care. I refuse to be hurt.
You refuse feeling deeply about anything when it's clear to anyone how entirely self-conscious you are.
Well, what precisely, please do tell, am I supposed to be feeling, huh?
I'm simply referring to standard emotions, pain, remorse, love.
Yeah, I have none of those feelings.
I meant to say that was a movie about Bob Dylan, but you could kind of tell by the that was a pretty good impersonation of Bob Dylan in there.
It was. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like Bob Dylan, but I don't think people would guess who is playing Bob Dylan in that scene.
Was that Kate?
That's Kate Blanchett. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she is just. I mean, there's 6 Bob. I don't know if people quite understand the plot such as this, but there's like 6 Bob Dylans in this movie. Some based in reality, some not at all. And she's obviously, you know, an actress playing Bob Dylan, and she gets the closest, I think, to what the Bob Dylan we think we know from, you know, interviews and clips and stuff like that. It's really an amazing piece of impersonation, and she's pretty much a shoe-in to be nominated for an Oscar for it.
Next we go to the phones, Diane in Madison. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I guess my all-time favorite movie is The Prestige.
Was that from this past year, Diane?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's out on DVD right now. And it was with Michael Caine. You can't find it anymore. It's pretty much sold out. Michael Caine is in it. And I was really, really fascinated by the fact that David Bowie is a singer, but he's also an actor in this movie and does a very good job.
Yeah.
And it takes place in about the 1900s, early 1900s, and it's all about musicians and their lives. So it was very good.
Thank you, Diane. Did you catch The Prestige?
I did, yeah. I think it actually came out late last year, because I know it was on my honorable mention list last year. And yeah, David Bowie plays the inventor Nikola Tesla, which is very interesting casting. And it's about these two rival musicians played by Christian Bale, who's just, we talked about Rescue Dawn, and Hugh Jackman, who sort of up the ante between each other. And, yeah, I thought that's a very entertaining movie and really interesting. That was on my honorable mention list last year for sure.
Thank you very much, Diane. Tom in Windsor, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
While I really enjoyed Transformers, I would have to say my favorite movie this year was the latest Harry Potter movie. I saw it at the IMAX theater with a 3D effect, and they were just superb.
Yeah, I did not see either of those. How about you, Rob?
I didn't make either of those either, but I am a fan of the IMAX. Well, I saw 300 on the IMAX, and it wasn't even 3D, but it was also very impressive. That's kind of interesting. Sort of trend this year is sort of towards these both the IMAX 3D and then the new Dolby Digital 3D, which some theaters are starting to get, like here in Madison, really enhance the entertainment experience. They cost a little more, but if you have the option, it can be quite amazing.
Yeah.
Well, it really is. The technology for 3D has come along quite a bit. The Harry Potter movie, not all of it was 3D, just a portion of it. And the horses, it was during a fight scene, and some horses were flying at you, and you could swear you could reach out touch them. It was that realistic.
Yeah. Yeah, those little red and blue glasses are pretty much gone. And it's much more high tech now and much more. And it doesn't, and another thing I like about it is it doesn't wear your eyes out when you watch them anymore either, which is great.
We're talking with Rob Thomas, entertainment writer, movie reviewer for the Capital Times. Still about 5 minutes to go if you would like to get in your pick for the best movie of 2007. Or maybe you saw Clunker that you want to warn us off of. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. Rob's top 10 list includes number 1, No Country for Old Men, number 2, Ratatouille, 3, Away from Her, 4, I'm Not There, 5, Atonement, 6, Sweeney Todd, 7, American Gangster, 8, In the Valley of Elah, number 9, Rescue Dawn, and number 10, In the Shadow of the Moon. And here's a clip from that.
We went into darkness after being in daylight the whole time, and we're in the shadow of the moon.
Look at that. Unbelievable.
I felt that I was literally standing on God's front porch.
I remember thinking, my God, that little thing is so fragile out there.
That jewel of Earth which is hung up in the blackness of space.
So that was about space travel.
Yeah, the Apollo program, a documentary. And, I wish more people had seen that one. I hope they catch it on DVD. I thought it was just an amazing, fascinating, and really uplifting movie because it talks about the Apollo space program. And it does so just by interviewing the astronauts who did it. I mean, there's no, like, talking head historians or anything. So it's very much a first-person movie about what it was like to be up there, what's it like to feel the boosters underneath you, or to look back and look at the Earth. And I really, these guys are just fascinating guys. I mean, there's like 11 guys in the world who've done this thing. And I just was really taken by it.
Kathy in Madison joins us. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I really like the movie Once, which was so, it was just so different and an innovative way of doing a film, I thought. And I really enjoyed it, and I would like to know what your reviewer thought of that.
You know, I did. That was the one I was trying so hard to see this year, and I never got to it, and I should have, because I've heard the same thing from a lot of people, that it was just one of the best movies of the year, one of the best sort of musicals I've ever seen, although in a very different way. And I've got to catch up to it and see it.
Yeah, why did you like it so much, Kathy?
It was just, it was an interesting technique of filming. The actors were actually musicians that they hired to do it, and the music was fantastic. I've gotten the CD as well. It's just really a beautiful film.
All right, thank you very much for that nomination. Any others that you wish you would have been able to see, Rob, that maybe didn't make it on your list?
I think the one, there's a bunch that are coming out that I wish I'd seen, but aren't. Like There Will Be Blood, the Daniel Day-Lewis movie, it will be here in a couple of weeks. I haven't seen that yet. The Savages with Laura Linney and Philip Seymour Hoffman's coming here, I think, on January 18th. I wish I'd seen that. From the past year, the one glaring one I have not seen yet would probably be Zodiac, which came out in March. It was about the Zodiac killer in San Francisco. A lot of people are just raving about that movie. But, you know, it's like when you're a reviewer, it's like if you don't get it that week, it's really hard to go back and sort of pick up the ones you missed.
Yeah.
Because there's new stuff every week.
And I shouldn't waste my time on Love in the Time of Cholera.
I know. It's so sad because I love the book. And you know, they said it was unfilmable, and they might have been right because they sort of take, you know, this great idiosyncratic romance of Gabriel Garcia Marquez and try and fit into a standard historical drama. And it just doesn't work. It just is very weird.
And we're almost out of time, but just very quickly, your last bottom five, The Last Mimsy and Becoming Jane. So,
yeah.
All right. Thanks, Rob Thomas. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Oh, you bet.
Rob Thomas is entertainment writer and movie reviewer for the Capital Times. Thanks to... Who produces? Cheryl Gasser produced this hour, and Christina Taylor on Air Production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.